The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Hello and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. This is Richard Palmer standing in for your regular host, Mr. Stephen Flurry. We're coming to you live from our studio in Edstone, England, something we have not done in quite a long time. We've had to blow the dust off our equipment. We're back, hopefully still fully functioning correctly. Nobody sent me any email saying it's broken yet. We do have a fly in one of our lights that is busy being loud and annoying, so hopefully he decides to keep quiet for the show. We're finding out which bits of equipment's been colonized, I guess. If it's a fly, he can't have been there very long. Well, I want to start today with an article that I think makes a really good point. It's from the Wall Street Journal. The title is, "While America Feuds at Home, Russia and China Are Busy Making Moves." So, they're busy while we're focused, well, Britain, America, we're focused on our own divisions. This article says, while Washington has been consumed with its own internal fussing and fighting in recent weeks, a few other things have been unfolding elsewhere around the globe. So for the second time this year, Russia has massed thousands of troops and their armored equipment near its borders with Ukraine. And again, appears to be using its energy supplies as a weapon to stop any westward drift by Ukraine's government. And he talks about how, well, America's not really doing much. China's President Xi Jinping, he says he skipped the two most important gatherings, the COP22 summit. I can't really blame him for how can you have a go at Xi Jinping for skipping the COP22 or 26 summit when Joe Biden went and fell asleep there? We can't really blame him for that. But they do go on to say that the Pentagon said in an annual report on the Chinese military that Beijing is expanding its nuclear arsenal so rapidly it could have twice as many nuclear warheads in coming years as previously projected. So there are big things going on all around the world. This article concludes by quoting a recent article in a different newspaper by Fiona Hill, saying the polarization of American society has become a national security threat, acting as a barrier to the collective action necessary for combating catastrophes and thwarting external dangers. Which, she's right, the division in America has become a national security threat. But Fiona Hill? There's some serious pots and kettles issues here. I mean, she's come up in the news just last week because she was revealed as playing a pretty significant role in the fabrication of the Steele dossier. So if we're going to be complaining about internal divisions, rightly, America being divided like this is a national security threat, but whose fault is it? Well, I think it's the people that have been making up accusations that their opponent is a Russian stooge. So, yeah, America is divided. It's a national security fault. A lot of that division is Fiona Hill's fault and the radical left's fault. But back to the point, the domestic news in the United States is big and important, and some of the most big and important news going on right now. But there is also massive bits of news that are getting overlooked, things that are significant from around the world. This Wall Street Journal article, it reminded me of an article that Trumpet managing editor Joel Hilliker wrote over the summer. It's called "The Wolves Are Circling." And in that article, he wrote, "America is in turmoil. Americans are watching the news closely, but what is it they're watching? The latest incremental developments in COVID-19 stats? The latest local government lockdown extension? The latest max vaccination push by the federal government? Climate change, disgruntled Olympians, sex scandals, and race-related names of sports teams? Let's wake up to the real world for a minute," he writes. So let's do that in the first segment. I want to go over some of the big recent stories that too many in the US media are overlooking. So, I mean, we already mentioned in that quote from the Wall Street Journal some of what China is doing with its nuclear weapons. Here's a headline from the Times over the weekend. China preparing to quadruple its nuclear arsenal, Pentagon fears. So we had this report from the Pentagon basically saying they want to, China wants to have 1,000 nuclear weapons by 2030, as it aims to have more nuclear weapons than the United States. The Times writes, Beijing's nuclear weapon expansion is accelerating at a rate not foreseen even a year ago in a dramatic change in the global arms race, the US military concluded. So, you know, the last few decades, the trend has generally been the big superpowers after the Cold War cutting back in the number of nuclear weapons. You know, they can be expensive to maintain, and once you can destroy the world four or five times over, do you really need that many more? But now China, well, the big news now is nuclear arms races are back. People are rebuilding weapons, bringing up new ones, modifying, modernizing them. I mean, quadrupling. That's a massive increase. And of course, nations are working to make their nuclear weapons more deadly, harder to intercept. China just tested over the summer a more deadly type of weapon. They're looking at types that could be used in a surprise attack, that kind of thing. Going back to this article from Mr. Hilliker, because it ties in well with this news from China. He writes, these nations are preparing for war. Americans are battling each other over vaccine mandates, replacing police officers with social workers and transgender rights in sports. There are important internal issues in America, he writes. Government opposition, runaway spending, debt, inflation, crime, immigration, lawlessness, radicalism, immorality. The trumpet covers these issues extensively because they're destroying the nation from within. But another major issue is the fact that Americans are ignoring what is happening in the rest of the world. We are succumbing to weapons of mass distraction. Once America's problems have weakened it enough, it will be destroyed from without. Other nations see that America is dying. They see opportunity. The wolves are circling. And that is what we see today. That's really what this Wall Street Journal article was talking about. Here's another story out of China. This is from The Times, I think just this morning. President Xi prepares to be anointed as emperor of all he surveys in China. Emperor of all. He's the new emperor. He's the strong man with a lot of power. This article says hundreds of top Chinese Communist Party members have been meeting behind closed doors in Beijing since Monday, preparing to pass a history resolution that not only rewrites the past, but maps out a future that may see Xi rule for life. This is the last such meeting before next year's Congress, at which Xi is expected to win a third, potentially unlimited term after successfully abolishing such restraints in 2018. And it goes on to talk about just what a big figure, what a huge figure Xi is becoming in China. You know, they're rewriting their history to make clear how big, how important Xi is. And we used to think that the world, or people, many scholars and things, used to think that the world was just on a long slide to democracy. You know, the end of history, this was it. We figured out how government was going to work and the whole world would become democracies eventually. And now we see that this era of history doesn't work like that. That we're getting emperors now, emperor for life, strong men coming up in China and others. Another story from China yesterday, China has all these replicas of US ships out in the desert that they're practicing attacking. And you think this new emperor for life might be a bit hostile to the world's leading power of freedom and democracy? The wolves are circling, as Mr. Hilliker wrote. Russia is up to something as well. There's stories just out of them just over the last week or so. They might even be preparing for something more immediate. They've cut off all their gas going to Europe via Poland, and then they halved the amount going to Europe via Ukraine. So it's this cold winter, gas prices are spiking, and then Russia is restricting the amount of gas that they send. That has a direct effect on the economies, on ordinary people. And it directly affects our energy prices. It directly affects how much it costs to heat our homes, to cook dinner. You know, we all have gas ovens and things like that over here. Or if not, the electricity is based off of gas. You know, Europe is in an energy crisis already, thanks to Russia not selling enough gas. And then they do this. And then at the same time, the US has said that they're monitoring a military buildup on the borders of Ukraine. So, and there have been commercial satellites with footage of this. What is Russia doing on the borders of Ukraine? Are they preparing for something more aggressive? Well, there's some other news just out of Russia recently where Russia and Belarus, they're working to flood Europe with migrants. They're deliberately flooding Europe with migrants. They're sending thousands of migrants into Poland and Lithuania. So, I mean, think about this a little. The migrant crisis back in 2015 was hugely destabilizing for Europe. It completely rocked European politics. The rise of extreme parties like the Alternative for Deutschland, they trace directly back to 2015. That they're already worryingly high, but that's when they really took off. That's where you had so many of these extreme parties start to do so well. Germany's politics is a mess right now, thanks to the legacy of 2015 in many ways. There are more causes than that, but that is one of the things that has stopped politics as usual working in Germany. And now Belarus, which everybody knows is a puppet of Russia, is saying, you know, we could make this worse. And then we're showing you how. We're putting on flights. We're flying in migrants from Afghanistan, I believe it was, but certainly from Syria and Iraq. We're flying them into Belarus and then shoving them across the border into Poland and Lithuania. We are deliberately creating a migrant crisis for you. And, you know, that's getting Europe's attention. The Polish government's spokesman, he talked about 3,000 to 4,000 migrants near the border, 10,000 just in another area getting ready to cross into Poland. Poland and Lithuania, they're saying that they're overwhelmed. They're threatening even to escalate militarily. And then Poland is, they supplement their... They're supplementing their border guards with more and more soldiers coming up to the border. Joshua Michels, one of our writers, he's pulled together some quotes from the German media, and we'll have an article based on some of these up on the website soon. But this is from FAZ, which is a German newspaper. It says the direct route from the Middle East to Europe does not go through the isolated Eastern European country. Until recently, transit through Lukashenko's police state, so this is referring to Belarus, was difficult. Now he has the migrants flowing in as tourists from Iraq, Syria, or Iran. He wants to put pressure on the EU for organizing sanctions against him, and he's probably even making money with his state-organized people smuggling. State-organized people smuggling. The author says, Lukashenko's evil game with migrants must not be allowed to continue. The EU must stand firm and impose further sanctions. It talks about how either the migrants make a violent breakthrough, in which case they make the EU look weak, or the EU border guards prevent this, and then in this case, usually it says no doubt with force, then the EU looks like a hypocrite, preaching values but showing brutality. And now, again, just I think this was from this morning, Russia sent bombers flying over Belarus. They were called strategic bombers. I think that normally refers to nuclear bombers. Flying over Belarus to kind of show their support for Belarus and to pressure Poland. You know, you better not send too many soldiers to the border with Belarus because we've got Belarus's back here. And we've got nuclear bombers. Belarus's foreign minister said any deployment of troops will lead to adequate retaliatory measures as provided for by the military doctrine. So Russia, they've got an emperor for life. They've got a strong man as well. And he's flexing his muscles. And I don't know whether he's getting ready for something specific in the next few weeks. It certainly seems plausible. Whether he is maybe has his eye on part of Ukraine or all of Ukraine. Or what? I mean, maybe he's preparing for something big. Maybe he's cutting the gas so nobody can fill up their reserves and so that they feel the pinch and making them all dependent on Russia. And then just sending a message. Look, if you interfere with us, we'll freeze you in the winter. We'll flood you with migrants. We'll destabilize your politics. Stay out of our way. Let me take over whoever I want to take over. It's certainly possible that he's getting ready for that. But regardless, he's certainly putting the pressure on Europe, and he is certainly attacking them. You know, how is Europe going to respond? You know, this is another wolf. We've got China practicing attacking the U.S. Navy, increasing its nuclear weapons. You know, you'd have thought that would be gaining more attention around the world. And instead, America is having to fight off the radical left, fight off critical race theory. I mean, those are real threats. That America is having to deal with. Mr. Armstrong said the destruction of the family was more dangerous than the hydrogen bomb. So I'm not saying it's wrong to focus on these news stories, but because America and Britain were having to deal with this internal division, we've got countries out there around the world tripling their nuclear arsenal and we barely notice. But this is another story, Russia getting very pushy, very aggressive. And then how is Europe going to respond? You know, they see they need to get their act together. They're going to start to see, well, we need our own Putin. We need our own emperor for life, our own Xi. We need somebody to come together and give us power. And Mr. Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Flurry, he talked about this in his free book, The Prophesied Prince of Wash, which, if you want to understand Russia, that's a great place to go. That really shows you what the Bible says is coming to Russia. You can read that, you can order that on our website, thetrumpet.com. We also have our free phone number, 1-866-930-3024, 1-866-930-3024, where all of the literature that we quote from today, we're happy to send that to you for free. And we're excited to get that out to the largest audience possible. But Mr. Flurry, in that book, he says the Ukrainian crisis continues and America is sleeping through it. Talking about how, well, yeah, we had the Ukrainian crisis, Russia invaded Crimea, and then they stayed there. And this war has dragged on in Ukraine. They've been firing at each other in the Donbass region and fighting on, and we've just been sleeping through it. But Europe is deeply alarmed, and certainly more so now with what's happening. The changes this crisis provokes in Germany and Europe will shake the nations. We need to watch what is happening in Russia, wrote Mr. Flurry, and how Europe responds to it. Daniel 11 and verse 44 talks about tidings out of the east troubling Europe. Putin's tactics in Georgia, Ukraine, and the Middle East and elsewhere are already deeply troubling to Europe and the world. Russia's resurgence, which we see reported in headlines often, show that end-time Bible prophecies are rapidly being fulfilled. Mr. Flurry's cover article to our latest Trumpet Print edition, Trumpet Print Magazine, is about this leadership crisis that's facing Europe. And in that, he talks about all of these different crises that are facing Europe. You know, Afghanistan has just exposed how defenseless they are, that they rely on the United States that fundamentally cannot be relied upon, that they need to get their act together, they need to have their own military power. And they've got some of these other crises, and now we can add this to the list. Vladimir Putin threatening Europe, another reason for them to get their act together. And Mr. Flurry talks about, well, they're talking about a European army, but you need a leader for that army. You need somebody who can tell it, go, not a committee. And so he talked about how this is going to pressure major significant changes in Europe. And here's another thing to add to that pressure, what Putin's doing. Just one story that ties right in with that almost nobody is really paying attention to. There's been talk just now over the last few days, the European foreign policy chief, Joseph Borrell, he's put out a plan for changing the way the European military works. So they're talking about a new military group that could swiftly deploy 5,000 people. Now, Europe has that already. They already have it on paper. It's never been used. And this is the significant part of what this new report from the foreign policy chief is talking about, is that these soldiers could be deployed without the unanimous group of agreement of all 27 nations. That's a huge step. You know, this is one of the steps that have been incredibly hard for Europe to take. For one country to say, I'm going to let this other country decide whether or not to send my soldiers in. That is a big step, imagining the United States letting Canada or Mexico say whether to send in the US military. There's no wonder Europe's been reluctant to take that step, but they're talking about it now, of getting rid of this unanimous agreement. And you can see how this has been why Europe's military has been so useless. You know, if you need unanimous agreement from 27 nations, it is not a rapid reaction force. You may call it that, but you're not going to get rapid agreement from 27 nations on sending their military into combat. I mean, you can't get a rapid agreement from 27 people on where to go for dinner. It has to be a mess when you've got that many. So this is where they're talking about getting smaller groups of countries together. He said that smaller groups of countries could choose to take action because, quote, we cannot decide by unanimity every step of the process. So they're talking about, there's talk of an EU hybrid response team. I thought this was interesting from the Daily Mail on the subject. The paper, which has been drawn up on a German initiative. Oh, sorry, this is from German Foreign Policy, actually. The paper, which was drawn up on a German initiative since last year, is intended to give EU foreign and military policy new clout and will finally be adopted in March. So Germany's pushing this. They began pushing it last year. It got a big acceleration in that push after the American withdrawal from Afghanistan. German Foreign Policy writes, special importance is also attached to the establishment of a new EU reaction force. as proposed by 14 EU states on May 6th, including Germany, France, Italy, and Spain. The force is said to have up to 5,000 soldiers, including land, air, and sea components. And it goes on to talk about their timetable. They want to agree on operational scenarios in 2020, have regular practice maneuvers in 2023, ready for action 2025. And then they said they want more flexible decision making. Now, it's still not easy. Not all 27 nations are happy with this. There are several of these nations in there that are saying, well, no, we don't want to give up this principle of unanimity. We don't want other countries to be able to tell us, send in your military. But this is another long-standing prophecy. You know, the Bible talks about Europe coming together as a 10-nation superpower. You can see that just in one chapter of your Bible alone, Revelation chapter 17. It talks about a beast, biblical symbolism for an empire led by a woman, led by a church. And there aren't, you know, if you're going to, and you can look through there, and it also talks about this empire coming and going underground, disappearing from the world scene, being resurrected. And it disappears and it's resurrected seven times. And just from this alone, you can see, well, that's referring to the Holy Roman Empire, this European power that came and went now six times. But if you're looking for an empire led by a church that comes and goes, that brings you right to Europe. And it talks about it being a 10-nation power in this end time. 10 nations coming together. And not all of these 27 nations are willing to go along with having a united military. So some of those nations will leave at some point, or they won't be a part of this final arrangement. It's just going to be 10. Now, Mr. Flurry points out in his latest Trumpet Prince, as I said, if you've got a strong army, you need a strong leader. And that's the kind of the big vacuum that Europe has right now. But that's a big vacuum that we need to watch, a big vacuum that's going to be fulfilled in Europe. So you can read more about that in his article, from our latest Trumpet Print magazine, that cover article there. And we'd be very happy to give you a free subscription. And again, the number for that is 1-866-930-3024. Or our website, thetrumpet.com. But that's just a brief overview of some of the big stories that we've got all around the world. This, you know, the wolves are circling. These major stories that are being overlooked, that show that this world is a dangerous place, that America really does need to be united to face down these problems, and instead being undermined by division from within. Like we've talked about so much on this program, there's an agenda behind that, behind dividing America from within. And we have another booklet on that, America Under Attack, that we'd be happy to send you. Well, I just wanted to give an overview of some of those stories before I get into a bigger segment on a different subject. So we'll take a quick break and be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Flurry's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily radio show, or
I guess we've dropped radio, haven't we? It's Trumpet Daily Show. We're live on video at the our website, thetrumpet.com. And we are still live on radio. We're on at our partners at CRN Digital Talk Radio on CRN Channel 3. Very happy to be there. And over the air on 101.3 in the Edmond, Oklahoma area on KPCG. Well, I want to talk about a story that has not been underreported, COVID, but an angle that few are talking about. So, I mean, obviously, that we are all incredibly familiar with how our world is just being transformed in ways that would have seemed impossible just a year ago. Millions losing their jobs due to their vaccination status, the unvaccinated being shut out of travel, freedoms that were once considered absolute and inviolable being denied. And several places in Europe have the toughest restrictions of any democracy. France was one of the pioneers in normalizing vaccine passports in the free world. Beginning in August, only those who were fully vaccinated or had had a negative test in the last 72 hours could enter non-essential places like restaurants, entertainment venues, or airports, and even take domestic train travel and things like that. In France, they've recently extended their vaccine passport laws to last until the summer of 2022. Soon, if you're over 65, your vaccine passport will no longer be valid unless you've had a third vaccine. So there aren't signs of this ending anytime soon in France. In October, Italy became the first country in the world to require vaccine passports for its entire workforce. Any job, you need the vaccine. What I thought was just especially evil about what was going on in Italy is refuse the vaccine and you don't lose your job. Because if you're fired, well, then you can claim unemployment benefits and that kind of thing. Instead, you don't get paid. You're suspended without pay. So if you quit your job, you're not eligible for the unemployment benefits. So it's just a... So it's just really an evil... You don't want to go along with our vaccine passport scheme. You can't own an income. We're not even going to give you unemployment benefits. Unless you've got a good amount of savings, your family are going to starve if you don't accept this passport. Austria, they copied it just a few weeks ago. So they've got their passport. So in both countries, the way this works is you have your green pass that you have to show to go to work, to go to a restaurant, to go to any entertainment complex, to use long distance travel. So to get the pass, you have to have either had the vaccine or recovered from COVID in the past 6 months or have a negative test result. So if you don't want the vaccine, basically your main choice is you've got to go and get tested every 48 hours at your own expense to be able to come into work and pay for it. Well, I said that, at your own expense. So it's a very significant handicap. And then Germany, well, they're quickly moving to the point where even a negative test is not an option. So the German state of Hesse, they passed a law saying that all businesses, including supermarkets and food shops, they'd be able to keep out the unvaccinated. They can choose to keep out the unvaccinated, only let in those that have the vaccine or those that have recovered from COVID in the last 6 months. Those who have a positive test for COVID and then a negative test from after that. And the government is pushing them to take advantage of this opportunity to bar the unvaccinated, because if they do that, they'll be able to get rid of costly social distancing measures and have their store operate at full capacity. Now, why is Europe moving with these draconian measures? We're seeing this COVID pandemic exposing radical authoritarian tendencies with leaders around the world. We definitely see it in Britain and America. We feel it directly in Britain and America. But we also need to see what is happening in Europe. There's an absolutely critical prophetic trend at play. And it's something Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Flurry forecast right from the start of the pandemic. You know, this is from April 2020. So this is kind of the early days of lockdown. And this is where Mr. Flurry went right away talking about what would be happening very soon in Europe.
Will the coronavirus usher in the deadly Holy Roman Empire? The European Union is having a lot of virus problems and economic problems that are really, really severe. And the coronavirus is hastening that day, hastening it very, very much. And I tell you, this Holy Roman Empire, this superpower that's on the world scene, is going to affect your life directly. This Holy Roman Empire is going to shock the entire world, Russia, China, U.S., U.K., the Middle East, the whole world. It's going to shock this world as no power has in these end times.
I thought this was fascinating. I mean, we talk about tomorrow's news today. Back in April 2020, again, early days of the lockdown, where I think for many of us, myself included, we were just sitting looking in shock as our governments did things that that some part of us thought could never happen. You know, a British government say you can't leave your house, you can only leave your house by our gracious permission. I had a hard time coming to grips with that. That is so fundamentally un-British, I didn't think that the country would even go along with that. But we did. But anyway, well, I was just kind of boggled there. You know, Mr. Flurry went straight to watch what this does to Europe. That one of the big significant effects of this is going to be what happens to Europe. And here we are about 18 months later, and we see, well, it's Italy that has the most restrictive vaccine passports in the world. You know, we see it fundamentally changing European society. And like I said, this is a trend that's been going on in Britain and America and in Europe, where in both countries, you've got people with authoritarian tendencies take advantage of this COVID crisis, jump in there and use it to grab power and boss people around. And we've rightly talked about that a lot, and I think we're very aware of how that is happening, especially in the United States, with all these unconstitutional, OSHA sending their snitches around or trying to spy on businesses and all of these things. But we also need to pay attention to how wannabe authoritarians in Europe are taking advantage of this as well. I mean, this is a radical shift in government philosophy for America and Europe. You know, now we hold our jobs, you earn an income, you buy food. Not because freedom is your right, not because men were created equal, created with freedom. No, instead you do all of these things by the gracious permission of your government. And that permission can be removed if you do something that displeases them. Today, that's refusing the jab. But now that we've established that you only own a job or can buy food because the government lets you, well, tomorrow it could be something different. You know, the same kind of liberal elites who proclaim my body, my choice, now say your body, my choice. There's nothing to stop them saying your rights, my choice in any other area of our lives. And they're moving on even to vaccinating children. I mean, Britain and America, we'd never have gone along with this kind of arbitrary revocation of individual rights if we believed in the ideals that made our nations great. But we don't. And we followed nations that never really embraced those ideals, mostly in Europe. And there's talk now of even banning unvaccinated people from gathering in private homes. So what, are we going to have the police now going raiding private homes, checking people's vaccination status? And then just look at what the power that these app-based passports give governments. And that's what it is for a lot of Europe, is you've got to have an app on your smartphone that you scan everywhere. In Italy now, even when you go to work, when you clock in, you've got to scan your vaccine passport. I mean, even if governments are scrupulously honest about what data they track and how they use it, which, I mean, that would be a first, these passes, they're still needed to check in all over the place, and they'd be able to track where you eat, where you work. Entire population level data, just on a scale that we've never seen. And we worry about the data that Facebook and Google have, rightly, but now you're looking at giving these governments that have introduced already these authoritarian measures, this kind of power. Before I move on, I just want to play one more clip from Mr. Flurry talking about what was going to happen in Europe just 18 months ago or so.
But here is what is going to happen, and you can watch it. And if you, I tell you, if you really know the Bible and understand it, you're going to be moved and stirred and just literally shaken by these stunning prophecies. See, so you're going to see a dramatic shift of politics in Europe.
You're going to see a dramatic shift of politics in Europe, and that's what's happening. It's still continuing to happen. But you look at some of this system, what's happened to it, you've certainly seen that. And then you've got the European Union stepping in and centralizing all of these different information and data that the apps are collecting, running it all through one system in Luxembourg so that a German tourist in Italy can have their vaccine passport checked by an Italian policeman. It's a major change, and there've been economic changes as well that it's brought about in Europe, a bailout fund that lets European countries basically share the German credit card. That is going to lead to major changes in Europe as well. I think something else that's kind of worth thinking about, just briefly, you've got this other dynamic in Europe that if you look at the anti-vax protests, which I think we've got some footage that we can show you from some of these anti-vaccination protests in Italy and in Germany. You know, I think it is absolutely understandable that people are protesting and that they are upset about these vaccine passport laws. Not enough are, sadly. It seems like in these countries the majority has gone along with it. But at the same time, the far right has been taking advantage of these passports. You know, in Italy, you've had people show up and kind of try to take over these protests that have swastika tattoos. They want to play a major role in these vaccine passport protests. You've had protesters coming along with Mussolini-era fascist slogans. One of the most outspoken parties against the vaccine in Italy and these vaccine mandates is Forza Nuova, a neo-fascist party. One of Italy's most extreme parties linked to anti-Semitism. It wants to repeal anti-fascist laws and wants to restore the same kind of relationship that you had between the Catholic Church and Benito Mussolini. And then in Germany, you've got a similar dynamic. The only party that substantially opposed these lockdown mandates and all of this was the Alternative for Deutschland. And some leaders of that party are pretty much outright neo-Nazis. They've talked about how Germany should be proud of their accomplishments of their soldiers in World War I and World War II. They've called for Holocaust memorials to be torn down. You know, the idea that Germany should be proud of its military heritage and must revive that tradition is part of what this party is. And I think, yeah, we should be playing now a clip showing you some of the protests from Germany. And if you watched at the beginning of that clip, one of the things you might have noticed is people at these anti-vaccine protests waving the flag of the German Empire. It's almost surreal. You've got these German Empire flags at these anti-vax protests. And that's an even more extreme movement than the AfD that are showing up with these flags. They're called Reichsbürgers, and they've played a major role in the anti-mandate, anti-lockdown movement in Germany. You know, they claim that Germany's current federal government is illegitimate and that the true rightful German state is still the German Empire, that they're the ones that are really in charge. And so you see this happening, and I think that's something that's worth thinking about. You know, it's not the protesters' fault that the far right are showing up at their protest. If someone's upset at these mandates and they're showing up to protest, they can't be blamed for a Reichsbürger or a neo-fascist showing up. But this situation, it reminds me of what we saw in Europe with the 2015 migrant crisis, where you had the mainstream politicians, the mainstream media, all the experts all saying, well, mass migration is great. And if you oppose it, you are dangerous racist. And sure, there was a tiny minority that opposed mass migration that were genuinely dangerous racists. But the vast majority, the overwhelming majority that were not on board with this mass migration were not racist at all. But the government continued to lie and to cover it up. And Trumpet.com managing editor Brad McDonald and I, we wrote an article on this. And we wrote, think about the consequences of Germany's officials' deception. It is destroying the trust between Germany's government and the public. What happens when the majority of Germans realize they've been deceived? What happens when the majority of Germans lose confidence and trust in mainstream leaders? And that trend drove normal tolerant people into the arms of extremists. They had reasonable concerns about mass migration, but no one else would address them. The only people that would were these extremists. And especially in Germany and Italy today, we see the same thing. We see those that have reasonable concerns, very reasonable concerns, very justified concerns about government coercion, injecting themselves with a new type of vaccine. But at an institutional level, the only ones that will talk about this are extremists. You know, what happens if it does turn out that these vaccines are so disastrous that not even the mainstream media can hide it and the scales fall from everybody's eyes? You know, what does that do to politics? I think that's an interesting question and one that's worth asking. If every mainstream established elite source is proven wrong very publicly, and within Italy and Germany, the only institutions proven right are neo-fascists and neo-Nazis. You know, at least in the United States, there's a Republican opposition to what is happening, a mainstream opposition. In the UK, you have a mainstream wing of the Conservative Party that, at least to an extent, is opposed to this. But in lots of these countries, it's only the extremists. You know, what happens if people come to believe that they've been forced by the government to inject a dangerous substance into themselves and their children? You know, that is really going to shake up Italian and German politics. It would discredit every major institution in all of mainstream politics. You know, it would be another crisis. But it would push people into the arms of a different type of strong leader. You know, whichever way this goes down, we've got authoritarians and vaccine passports on the one hand for some of these countries, and neo-fascists and neo-Nazis on the other. Those are the two roads. It's something that, you know, whatever happens, they disagree on the solution, but they agree on having a strong leader take them there, on having a strong leader fix it. You know, Europe is faced with these two different roads to authoritarianism. In July 2020, Mr. Flurry wrote an article along similar lines to what we've played from his Key of David program. He wrote, "One of the most important effects of the global pandemic over COVID-19 has been almost overlooked. Europe's response to the pandemic is accelerating the fulfillment of one of the most crucial end-time prophecies of your Bible. The coronavirus is hastening the arrival of the prophesied Holy Roman Empire." He talked about, like we talked about in the first half of the show, that there'll be these 10 kings in Europe. "The COVID pandemic is helping usher in these 10 kings," he wrote. "We need to be thinking about these prophesied kings who are rising now. As a result of the recent crises, various European leaders have taken dictatorial measures. Later, he said, "Considering Europe's long and painful history of strong leaders, restricting freedoms to realize their ambitions is extremely dangerous." What we're seeing is extremely dangerous. He said, "The people of Europe are being conditioned to accept more tyrannical leadership." What could be a better description of what's happening with the vaccine passports? I was in Canada recently where they had a type of vaccine passport law. One of the things that surprised me most was how quickly I became used to it. How quickly it just became normal. Okay, I'm showing up at a restaurant. There's my papers. It was a negative COVID test. Look, yep, I've got my negative COVID test within the last 72 hours. And that just became routine. And that, I found that a bit scary. But that's what's happening all over Europe. Everyone's just being conditioned now for the government to play a new role in their lives. Being conditioned to accept tyrannical leadership. And like I said, the book of Revelation describes this coming European power as a beast power, an empire led by a church rising out of the old Roman Empire. It tells us in Revelation 13 that this empire is going to enforce a mark that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. No man would buy or sell. When we've got these vaccine passports coming in and you can't buy or sell, you can't have a job unless you've got one of these vaccine passports. Now, I need to add very quickly, the vaccine passports and the vaccine, it is not the mark of the beast. But until this year, you know, the idea of a government determining who could buy or sell or engage in commerce, that seemed kind of absurd. Now it's reality. Now it's here. I know I kind of had a hard time imagining how would this happen? How could you get a whole population to accept you've got to have some kind of mark or paperwork before you can buy and sell, before you can hold down a job? It's there in Italy. It's there in Austria. They've accepted it. Or they've accepted that principle, at least. For the mark to come fully into force, well, the governments just need to, or to come into force at all, really, I should say. I don't want to imply the COVID vaccine is even partially the mark. But for it to come into force, they just need to change from all of these public health orders into something that's about submitting to a state's religious power. Because when you read Revelation 13, it's very clear that's what the mark revolves around. It's about submitting to a church, to a religious edict. It's about whether or not you obey God's commands. Late Herbert W. Armstrong, he warned of this power even beginning all the way back in the 1920s. And for a lot of that time, for the idea of a democratic, human rights-loving Europe to transform into the kind of authoritarian beast that he, based on these Bible prophecies, was talking about, that seemed impossible. That transformation is happening right now. It's happening in front of our eyes. And even, like I said, tomorrow's news today, right back in April, Mr. Flory was saying, watch the COVID crisis. It's going to get Europe used to tyranny. It's going to push them in this tyrannical direction. And now you cannot get money to feed your family in Italy unless you conform to this government's passport. Massive change. Massive change. That forecast is fulfilled already. And there's still more to go in terms of how it changes European leadership, how it brings about this strongman. But the Bible prophesies that this European beast power is going to wreak destruction upon the whole world. But it also plays a major role in God's end time events. You know, this is why we need to watch it. It's a major role in God's plan for end time events, I should say. You know, the advent of this empire is a great sign of danger that we need to be paying attention to. It's, you know, the wolves are circling. There is a growing dangerous world out there. But there's also a sign of great hope here. You know, the time allotted to empires of men is nearly over. There'll be no more tyrannical governments of men very soon, taking advantage of crisis and fear to increase their own power and taking over all of these at the cost of freedom of a whole load of other people. You know, this empire rising in Europe will be the last before the governments of this world are overtaken by a new empire, one led in true freedom by God, by Jesus Christ. Not by men. So this is a critical prophecy to watch for that reason, that great sign of hope. Now, you can get all of the articles that I mentioned just in that segment on our website, thetrumpet.com. You can subscribe to The Trumpet there. You can go back and read that article from I think it was the June or July Trumpet Print 2020 from Mr. Flory, Coronavirus and the Holy Roman Empire. If you want to know more about what the Bible says about this mark of the beast as well, I'll just mention Herbert W. Armstrong's booklet, Who or What is the Prophetic Beast, that tells you so much about these prophecies in Revelation 13, Revelation 17, that lets you prove from your own Bible what these empires are, what this mark is. I've only covered them very briefly. Well, I was going to take a break there, but I'm going to skip through that because I did have a little bit of a Bible study or last few minutes of comments that I'm rapidly running out of time for on a different subject, so I will put all of this away. Well, today is November 11th, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918 was, of course, the end of the greatest war the world has ever seen. And here in the UK and in many other countries around the world, November 11th was set aside as a day of remembrance for those that died in all the wars. For those who gave their lives for their country and for freedom. And this year, to me, feels like a pretty unusual Remembrance Day because there doesn't seem to be much remembrance going on. And maybe I'm just less plugged into the legacy media than I used to be, so I'm not seeing the video footage of the memorial services and that kind of thing. But it does feel to me like this year, we've forgotten to remember. You know, normally this year, I'd be wearing this time of year, I'd be wearing a poppy in my lapel. I'm not at the moment, just for the simple reason I've not seen anybody selling them. You know, normally the Royal British Legion are out there outside all the shops selling poppies to raise money for veterans and things like that. And I've not seen them this year. Maybe I've just not happened to see them, but I don't think they're out in as much force. You know, it's made me wonder, are the left winning their war on history? I think, you know, they've had their ideas of critical race theory and their demonization, their description of Britain and America's past as evil. And I don't think that this idea that Britain and America's past is fundamentally evil and that we need to be ashamed of our history, I don't think that idea has widespread popularity. Yeah, the elites may believe it. I don't think the silent majority does. But I do wonder, has the radical left succeeded in simply making us forget? You know, I'm sure part of the reason for lower key remembrances this year is COVID. But I think there's uncertainty now whether it's okay to remember the fallen, whether it's okay to celebrate heroic soldiers. Is it politically correct to memorialize our ancestors who died in World War I? Or are now people in the public eye afraid to say anything complimentary about the great figures of the past? So they just don't say anything, so they don't offend anyone. You know, remembering our history, well, thanks to the left's movement, well, that's kind of complicated. That could get you attacked, criticized from angry viewers. And so then this day kind of retreats from the media and from the politicians, and as it does that, it retreats from the public eye too. We just don't think of it as much. And that's a tragedy. There are so many reasons to remember history. I'll post an article up on our website soon from Remembrance Day, the lesson to never forget that we had on our website on the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I, that talks about the warning that this kind of history gives us. You know, this history shows the destructive potential of mankind, the suffering that we're capable of inflicting on ourselves. But I think there's another danger that comes with an attack on this day. You know, Remembrance Day always used to be accomplished with tales of great heroism, discussing the people that laid down their lives for their country, for their friends, for freedom. And we don't kind of hear these anymore. That's an example of toxic masculinity today. And we're denied some very positive lessons, some lessons that we need. Paul wrote in Philippians 3, verse 17, "Brethren, be followers of me and mark them which walk so as ye have for an example." So Paul's saying, mark those that set a good example. Barnes notes, right, "We should set before our minds the best examples and endeavor to imitate the most holy people." If you look at what that word mark means in Strong's, it says to take aim at or spy. One of Thayer's definitions is to fix one's eyes on, direct one's attention to. And there are a lot of good examples out there that we could be directing our attention to and we could be learning from. Psalm 37 and verse 37, I'll read this from the New International Version. It says, "Consider the blameless, observe the upright. A future awaits those who seek peace." You know, look at those that do great things and learn from them. We can learn from the great men of the Bible. Paul does that in Hebrews 11, but also others. We can mark their example. Mark what they do. Mark their courage. Take practical lessons from it. Be motivated by them. Mr. Gerald Flurry sets an incredibly powerful example in this. You know, he mines so much from the example of great men. In our Royal Vision magazine, in the latest issue, he had some just really profound articles on Winston Churchill, where he really meditated on, well, what motivated Churchill? What made him so ambitious, so successful? And then combined that with just profound insight from the Bible. The issue before, he had an article that he wrote on Abraham Lincoln. And one of the booklets that Mr. Flurry wrote is called How to Be an Overcomer, a powerful, practical book on how to overcome your faults. Be a more effective servant of Christ. And there's so much history in there. He talks about Churchill, he talks about Lincoln, he talks about Grant, he talks about Theodore Roosevelt, he talks about even Napoleon, who was an evil man, but a warrior and a general like few others that we can learn from. And then there's all the biblical examples in there. Job, Gideon, Paul, most of all, Jesus Christ himself. So history has so much to teach us in so many ways. And this, I think, is an area where the woke war on history has perhaps been really successful. You know, the silent majority, they may not have signed up to this idea that our history is evil, but I think many are losing interest. It's too complicated. It's kind of confusing. So it gets set aside and we focus on all those many distractions of today. Well, that is about all we've been have time for. You've been listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you do want to order any of those materials that I've mentioned, please do visit our website, thetrumpet.com. You can give us a call on 1-866-930-3024. We are very happy to send you those. Of course, you've been listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. You can catch us on video daily at thetrumpet.com, 101.3 on the FM dial. And I'm sure Mr. Flurry will be back tomorrow. And if you have any feedback, please do get in touch with us at td@kpcg.fm.